Three, two, one.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
I flashed a 70-year-old woman.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Limousine Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the strong length, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChallengeLinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 853 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the
he
show
did,
tonight,
ask. Wow,
we have. What's the problem?
I said you didn't even have to ask what show number it was.
I said it was 853 before we started.
I know.
On the show,
right off the top,
we have Alan.
Hello, hello.
We have Pat.
In the bunker.
We have Joel.
Hello, hello.
We have Rich.
At the Hughes Compound Southern Command.
We have Joe.
Hello, hello.
So, Joe.
Who?
Yeah, you. Not Joel.
Oh.
Joe. Okay. So, you sicked Matt on me, who sent me a promo for LibreQuest. And I figured before I play this promo, I'm going to watch this show. And shame on you, sir. Shame on you for not telling me about this show beforehand.
My bad.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I'm should I start at the latest show or should I go back to the first show, which was in October, I think it was? Or no? Yeah, I think it was in October of 2019.
Yeah. Well, I've mentioned him a couple of times on Mintcast whenever, you know, he's asked me to. And then he mentioned promos and he mentioned wanting to send one to you, but he thought he'd have to pay for it. And it's like, I don't think he charges.
We don't charge for nothing.
Yeah, I'm happy to play his promo. His right out of the gate, I mean, his first show, I was just like, well, this is great. I mean, I love the background, what's going on in the background there. I love the content he comes up with. I listened all the way up to episode 8 so far, and I just enjoy it very much. I mean, it feels like, you know, I was listening to early episodes of Tilts and stuff, and it really, you know, when he started talking about how he first got into Linux and that kind of stuff and was talking about the Fluendo codecs and everything, I'm like, man, I remember all that. It's taken me back. It brought a tear to my eye. I very much enjoyed it. He's been doing a great job. I'm really, like, hard-pressed to say listen to it as a podcast because what he does in the video, he has a lot to what he's talking about. And it's fairly short. They're like 15 to 25 minutes an episode. Some a little longer, some a little shorter. But it's really good stuff.
He's got good content.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So bravo to Matt. Go to LibreQuest.org. I put it on the Linux Link site. We'll be playing this promo. It was just, I've really so much enjoyed it. And I look forward to to listening to the rest of them and catching up. But there we go. Joel, you said you had stuff that would make Rich happy.
Yeah. One thing, I have had a Mavic Pro I just realized I've had it for about a couple years now. And the one thing that I haven't ever crashed it yet. But the only problem I've ever had.
We're trying.
Yes, I wasn't trying to because I'm not a dumbass. But the one thing that I had a problem with was the top shell of it, right near where the battery packs on the Mavic Pro have these clips that you push in before you take it out. And I'm pretty sure I always do that, but I don't know why, but the original shell that it came with, the top shell, cracked right where those clips go into the shell that retain the battery. So technically, if it actually flew upside down, which I don't think it'll do that, but if it did, the battery would fall out. There's still a possibility, even in a regular kind of flight, you know, maybe the wind or something tosses it or something, but they don't want to take a risk of the battery pack falling out when it's in mid-flight. So I did some research, found both a website and a YouTube video, and the part itself was $13. I got in on Amazon. It's the actual original DJI part. Took out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Probably close to between 8 to 10 hex head screws, and gently pried the top shell off. You got to be really careful when you're doing it, because the GPS for the drone is actually mounted to the top shell. And you actually, when you pop the rear of it off, you actually have to reach in with like a pair of needle nose pliers and pull the connection out of the board. All right.
So how much assembling it like it's that? An Apple computer or Apple phone?
No, it's not that bad. It's actually much, much easier.
How much of a pain in the ass was it, though? I mean,
it wasn't. What kind it took of me about 20 was minutes. It was just a push-in, just like a friction fit. And there are little retainer clips. But okay. When you grab it on either side, those retainer clips just automatically kind of free up.
So wasn't too bad. There was enough room. You didn't have to, like...
It wasn't that bad.
Okay. Sometimes those things are like so... You just want to beat your head against the wall when you're trying to do it.
It wasn't like some things have a ribbon cable or something that you got to pull when you're pulling stuff apart. This wasn't that bad. It was a little bit bigger piece of cable. So then after I got that popped off of, probably the only kind of hinky thing was the way the front edge of that top shell connects is that it's a... kind of two-way connection. So there's one set of connections that go one way on the bottom. There's another set that go the other way. So if you're not careful, you could snap one of those, but I managed to not snap either of them. You did have to pry up after you got there's like six screws on the top, four in the battery compartment, two in the back. And then you had to flip it over, and then there's a screw kind of up by the front set of prop arms that you had to take out. And then there was like a kind of a retainer cap. They had to pop it off too. And then there's like another two or three screws in there to get out. And once all those pieces are popped off, it just kind of pries off pretty easily. I was really careful with that. I should have found I didn't crack nothing. And I even used the metal spudger instead of a nylon one because I couldn't find my nylon one. But once I got the top off, it's just took off two or three screws on the back to release the GPS module. And then you transferred that to the new shell. Then the first thing you did was you just kind of stack it like you're ready to put it on. Plug the GPS back in, and then you just kind of snap everything back down and then put all the screws back together. And I did all that, powered it up, tested it inside first. The GPS made connection inside, went outside, and took a short flight, and it worked just great. In fact, they used it on Easter Sunday. Our church did a drive-in service. And at least the police in Ohio aren't as much of a dick as they were down in, Mississippi? In any case, I was able to fly it, and we had a kind of a drive-in church service. It's kind of cool whenever he get to a certain part. They did a Bible reading, and instead of everyone saying amen or something, after he said something, they would all honk their horns, which is pretty fun. But I fixed the drone, and it flies, and it does just every bit as good as it did before I fixed it. So. And now when I put the batteries in, I'm ultra careful that I don't stress that part of the drone. The only thing I wish I could do is I wish you can get, there's a label that's in the battery compartment that has has some QR codes, and it has the Wi-Fi, like if you reset it and default it, it has the Wi-Fi password in it. It'd be nice if I could pop that off and put it in the drone, but I'm not going to get rid of this until it doesn't fly no more, so I guess it doesn't really matter. I'll keep it just in case, though. But fix that, and then, of course, this week, the guy is doing the stairs, so hopefully by the weekend the stairs are complete. We were going to put like Capitread on, but we couldn't find Capitread that would match what we have on the flooring. So he's sanded them. They're all sanded down, ready to go. And tomorrow, hopefully, staining and polyurethaning them. And then we're going to paint some of there's a wood-stained rail that kind of goes from like in the kitchen all around the top of the stairs and down the wall that goes down the stairs. We're going to paint that white, you know. Then hopefully end this project for the moment. Oh, and my bank account got stimulated by the government today. Thank you.
So wait, Joe, what part did you actually have to replace on the drone? The top cover or?
Yeah, the top shell.
The top. So the clips that you were saying that you were worried about breaking, I guess they're not on the top shell. They're on
the clip. The part clips, it clips into. Yeah, the part it clips into is what broke. The clips on the batteries are fine. In fact, the batteries aren't even swelled or nothing. They're just fine. They always have been.
That's. Could you have printed the part on your printer?
Yeah, but it wouldn't look as nearly as nice. Injection molding for the win. Actually, I don't know if I actually look in theaters. That's not. Because I wanted it to look like it looked. I didn't want it to look different. Like with a light blue or a color or anything like that, you know. Although I have thought about that after I put it together. There's a company, it's one of those companies that make the laptop gel skin kind of deals. You can get those for the DJI drones. And kind of put that on top, and that's actually what I would prefer. Because then I could
customize it.
Yeah, I can customize it. I can make it look like I want. And then if I get tired of it, I can pry it off and put a new one on. So, and I've never been one to stick like that. I'm not one of those people that put stickers on my laptops. I'm just not that kind of guy. But. Whew. That was nice. Easter, I made a cherry cheesecake, man. I made cherry cheesecake, ham, potatoes, like scalloped potatoes, and sweet potatoes. Didn't make any vegetables. I probably should have, but I didn't. Now this weekend, I think I'm going to take that ham bone and stick it in a pot and make some bean soup.
What kind of
ham shank in the fourth soup?
Yep. I've got plenty of ham left, so I'll probably just chop some of that up and throw it in the pot, too. I try to think what kind of beans I got. I think I either got Great Northerns or Navies. I don't know. I was able to find dry beans, so I didn't have to buy canned beans. And I still don't have my sticker for my cars.
Yeah, hasn't that all been suspended or extended?
See, I'm not exactly sure. I know they closed the BMVs, and I had to mail a check and stuff in. But I mailed that in, and it still hasn't taken effect or anything yet. So, it makes me wonder if they just had that office shut down. That may be the case. I know that Ohio, actually, no, not Ohio, but President Trump, he extended the real ID for until another year. So October of 2021 instead of 2020 is when that takes effect now.
Yeah, I think PA got pushed out the same way.
Well, it was the president that did that. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean PA and Ohio hasn't, you know, Ohio's been ready to do it. It's just, I could have done it this time if the BMV was open. But unfortunately, the only way I can do that is with the BMV. I got everything I need. I got my birth certificate from PA, and it's worse for women on that because you got to bring your marriage license and all that in too.
Yeah, if you change your name, that's the problem my wife had. If you change your name, you have to have like the official marriage license that was the state provides.
And I know we have ours because when I got rid of a shelf in our bedroom when we were doing the flooring in there, I found it. So I know where it's at for her, but a little bit easier. But so I'll just wait until my birthday next year. Hopefully all this crap's over by then. So, but I could have renewed them on the internet just fine, except for they won't let you renew your ham radio plates via the internet for some stupid reason.
I never bothered to look into the ham radio plate stuff.
I don't even know why I have it on it, because I don't even have an antenna on my car right now.
Yeah, I don't have a new, since I've gotten the Subaru, I don't have an antenna on it. It's still sitting on the Prius.
What I need to do is I need to get me one of the glass mounts and put it on the rear. Those are pretty good. They look nice. And as I found out when I went to take them off, my Saturn actually came off pretty easily too. So I just used a Goo Gone and now that cleaned it right up. So it came right off. Just put it around the edge of it, and that was enough. And it seeped kind of in to where the sticky stuff was, and it loosened up. And I just yanked it right off. See, then that way though, you don't have a cable going through a door and screwing up your the seals on your doors and stuff like that.
Yeah, I haven't really bothered too much because I don't have a radio in the car anyways.
Right.
So, I mean, even in the Prius, it was just, you know, one of the HTs I'd carry with me.
Right, and that's really all mine is usually, too. But one of these days, I need to get an actual honest-to-God real mobile radio because it'd be nice to have something that's more capable of than 5 watts. But
well, half the time, I don't really, like you said, I don't use it anyways half the time, so.
Well, the most common mode that I like to use when I'm driving a long distance is D-Star anyway. So, and in that case, I just have my hotspot in the car connected via my phone.
And yeah, I don't need to watch. I don't really need anything else past that.
Yep. Yep. I mean, in fact, I crank the radio's power all the way down to extra low, and that's more than enough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes my battery last a lot longer, too. But the only thing that's kind of a pain, though, when you do that is switching over to simplex, analog simplex frequencies when you're in traffic, which is handy. I have used that before, too, just plain old 14652 simplex. And fired it up like we were stuck many years ago. Now, we were stuck on the way back from my dad's and fired up 652 Simplex and sat there and chatted for a half hour or 45 minutes until we got through it.
I've only done that once, but.
Yep. Oh, and then the other time I used it was when I was driving back and forth to Dayton. I catch people going in and catch people going out.
I was going to say, yeah, it's sort of, you're driving a date and it's sort of hard not to be able to catch somebody else on the road doing it.
Yep. Otherwise, I usually don't monitor Simplex that often. And have not, now even though I could, there is a open source firmware for my GD77 and I haven't tried it yet. I'm almost afraid to because, to be honest, I don't need. The things I would like the firmware to do, the stock does fine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like why why people root their phones anymore. You know, it might be now in the near future that might be the only way to disable any of the tracking stuff they want to put in phones now.
Yeah, I used to root like all my devices. When I first got the Note 3, I had it for 2 days. I tried it without root. Really didn't like it because that was back when Google was really limiting what you could do with your micro SD card.
Right.
So it was pointless to have a micro SD card. And yeah, but
pretty much no reason to do it anymore.
Yeah, there isn't that much of a reason to do it anymore unless you're really trying to get away from Google.
Yep, that's really the only reason I can think of. Because I remember back in the day when Pat and I had the G1s, we pretty much had to root it to make it functional.
Just to make it work, yeah.
Because I forget what release they actually officially stopped with, but we went all the way up through, Android 3, I think? Or 2-something? I can't remember. We went a long way with that phone.
Well, I had a couple of the HTC HD2s when they were out, right. Even like for a long time past when it was, you know, a
good still phone. Have my G1 and it still works.
But yeah, that's the HD2 is like one of the most hacked phones ever, just for the number of operating systems that you could put on. I mean, it started out as a Windows phone, but most of the time I had it, I was using it as an Android phone.
And
whose dog is that?
That's
sounds
my
like
dog.
My dog. Oh, it's your dog.
That's your dog.
Sounds like my dog. My dog, I brought him in.
No, it's my dog.
Yeah.
She likes to bark at people.
What kind of dog is that?
Hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Black lab mix.
Okay.
I would say earlier this week, Link and I had a good conversation about how shitty Android tablets are nowadays.
Yeah.
Hold on a second, Joel. Hold on a second. Aside from the Jide, can you name one good Android tablet that
not lately?
Good. Not really. I mean, some of the Samsung ones are okay. I wouldn't
the
call
Samsung
them good.
The Samsung ones are okay, but they're also as expensive as a freaking iPad.
Right?
If not more.
I was going to say, if not more, like the HD, the 6, the S6, I think, is their latest tablet, I think. And it's like $800. It's like, if I'm spending that much money, I might as well just buy a laptop.
Yeah.
Get a nice gaming laptop for that.
I had to break down and buy an iPad as well, just for a tablet, because I just got so tired of, you know, every tablet I bought, you know, and I've got like 4 or 5 of them floating around, and you know, within a year they're shit.
They're garbage.
Well, you can get a decent Windows tablet that'll last you a few years.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, my Surface Pro is doing great, you know, but it's going to do great for a long time. But and the same thing.
You can get a Windows tablet and, you know, put a proper operating system on it.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, the cheaper Windows tablet, yeah. But.
Oh, no, any Windows tablet, you should be able to.
Oh, I know I can put Linux on my Surface, but it's kind of pointless because not everything works on it. If certain things don't, you know, like handwriting recognition and stuff like that, just that's not going to happen. But now, granted, I can use the stylus on Linux, but just basically as a glorified mouse. So, but yeah, I mean, and that's what Link ended up breaking down. He bought a iPad as well, and that's the other thing too. Is my iPad is. That I have is a 2017 version, and it's still got the latest, greatest iPad OS on it. Still works well, and it's still worth money. I could probably sell it and get $100 out of it, easy. You know, an Android tablet is worth $60 after you spend $600 on it.
Yeah,
in like a year. So
I haven't found any that were, you know, actually usable long term.
Yep. And it's a lot to say that even Google don't make Android tablets anymore either.
Well,
last one they made was really what, the Nexus 7? I mean, they had the Nexus 9, but...
When you got companies making 7-inch frickin' phones, and that's the S20, that's a 6.95-inch phone, what's the point in making an 8-inch tablet?
Yep. We can make a 12-inch tablet, that would be awesome.
If you're going to go for a 12-inch tablet, get a freaking Windows tablet. And then run Android in or Android x86 in a virtual machine.
It's pretty sad. And a lot of it is the hardware that these companies choose. You know, either the Tegra chip, like the Tegra chip, I don't even think, does NVIDIA even make Tegra chips anymore?
I think so.
But, and now, one thing I'm actually discovering too, if you,
who's got the TV on in the background?
That might be my son listening to Percy Jackson audiobook.
Okay.
I've told him three times now to put a headset on.
Headphones.
Hey! He's listening. He's spending quality time over there, Joe. You should be learning.
Hey, I got a headset on.
What book is he listening to?
Which Percy Jackson book is that, JoJo? Is that the first one or the second one?
Not even close. Which? It's the only one before Last Olympian that I haven't read.
Okay, well, which one is it? What's the name of the book?
Battle of the... What's that maze that Daedalus created?
The Minotaur's Maze?
Also, a.k.a. The Labyrinth.
The Labyrinth.
The Labyrinth.
The Battle of the Labyrinth.
He's your son, man.
Yeah, well, he's listening to an audiobook.
Did you watch the first? I think they only made one movie so far, right? Did you guys watch that yet?
You know, it was on. I was in the same room.
Oh,
I can't really say that I watched it.
Okay. That's cool. You know what? Not to derail the conversation and go fall down a rabbit hole, but we have the Disney Plus now, and we've been watching some of the Disney movies on there, like the older ones in particular. Mm-hmm. And so we just rewatched Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and that was such a good movie. I loved it. I forgot how good that was. And then Tuesday night, we watched the original Peach Dragon. And my wife, after we watched it, said, "Damn, I don't remember it being that child abusive in that movie when we were growing up." Because it was like, I was like, wow. But anyway, sorry to derail.
Peach Dragon, which in all those should work on iPad or, most Android tablets too, if you want to watch it on one of those. But.
Well, I know my son has a iPad, like the original iPad. And And, you know, it's difficult now to put updated applications on.
Yeah, that's pretty old, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it even does Netflix anymore, but he can still do Plex. But the screen quality on that was still really great. And still looks really good even today.
Yep. Yeah, well, they it used to be that I never, the iPads, even when I first bought mine, iPads were pretty much just extra large iPhones. Not the case anymore with the difference between iPad OS and iOS. It's not a huge difference, but there difference.
They had the same application store, and yeah, they sometimes put out two different versions of the same application, one for the iPad and one for the phone. But if they didn't make one for the iPad, you could download the one for the phone and use it.
It still works too, yes. And that's still the case today on the iPad. But,
you gotta, in order to update applications, you have to have iTunes installed. And I know that there is supposed to be a way to do it in Linux. And I've tried out a couple of ways to do it.
You don't need Linux at all to do it. You just need Wi-Fi.
No, with the older one, you needed a specific version of iTunes in order to be able to install applications.
Yeah, well, and iTunes is, at least on the Mac, is dead.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's, for the most part, I don't think it exists on Windows. I mean, you can install it, but I don't think you need it.
Yeah, but can you use it still to download applications to an original iPad?
I don't know why I would do that, to be honest. I would just use the App Store on the device, and I don't know if you can do that on the older iPad, but it's like,
well, you couldn't because of, I think it was because of the versions, because it needs such an older version of the applications. You couldn't do it from the device itself or something to that effect. It's been a while since I've put an application on his iPad.
Yep, but it's like on my iPad, I just go to the App Store and update things, and it just works, generally. Now, granted, I have iPad OS 13.4, I think it is. So, they did a really good job on it, for Apple. It doesn't bug me as much as I thought it would. But now, Apple did bring out an actual device today, a new iPhone SE, which is like, why?
Oh, the $400 one?
Yeah, finally made a dirt cheap iPhone, I guess. If you want to call $400 dirt cheap, but I actually
iPhone that is low cost.
It is.
Compared to how much we paid for the Samsung devices,
it's kind of impressive. Is it actually still has the same chip that the iPhone 11 has? Actually,
does it have a 3.5 millimeter jack?
That's a good question. Probably not. I bet.
Probably not.
But I do like my new headset I got for doing my Zoom calls. It's the Avantree headset of some sort. I don't know the actual specific model number, but the... kind of the nice thing about it is a cable with a bag to put it in. It kind of folds flat too, and the boom for the microphone, you can actually pull the boom off of it when you're transporting it, so it's kind of nice. The only kind of negative is it still charges with the micro USB. That's only a minor negative. I'd rather it charge off of USB-C, but I'm okay with using micro.
No, I just tend to either use the LG HPS headsets that I have, or I'll switch over and use the Hesh 3s. I have some Sony XP700s. But long-term wear, they're really not all that comfortable.
And that is important because, you can be on calls for hours now.
Yeah. Seems like everybody thinks that because they don't get to talk to people in person that they should spend an extra hour on the phone chatting instead of having the dang meeting and moving on with their day.
Well, we've been having happy hours.
Where you chat, just to chat.
Anything but work. It's actually kind of nice.
Maybe we should try that with my team. But we don't have an hour where we're not working.
Yeah. And it looks like it doesn't have a headphone jack. Which is not a surprise. It still has the A13.
Not surprising at all.
Yeah, no. Heck, what phone does nowadays? Mine doesn't even have one. But
yeah, the notes don't have the headphone jack, And it still kind of sucks. But, you know, I mostly use Bluetooth anyway, so.
Yep. I got two Bluetooth headsets. I got an ultra cheap one. I got an Ollie's Bargain outlet. It's like 20. My backup, and it sounds like fucking shit.
I got 20 currently working LG HPSs.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't start out working, but they are working now. So plenty of Christmas presents for people this year. Well, they are, you know, $60 headsets. I just happened to get them for $5 each and make them work.
So, I don't know if you heard my talk in the pre-show there, Dan, but I was talking about getting a bicycle.
Yeah, I heard you mentioning it.
Yeah, and the company will actually pay for it since it goes towards wellness.
Oh, okay.
So, up to $350. So, I've been looking at bikes, and the one... There's kind of one I'm looking at kind of hard. This is a Schwinn Focus, like 1700, I think it is, which is a road bike. With the
how much are the Schwinns running these days?
That one is a little bit over five.
Okay.
I looked at one of the actual local bike shops, which I can order it online there and then go down and pick it up. But like, I'm not going to do that because the cheapest bike I saw was about $800.
You should look at Recumbent.
Well, now you really want me to spend money.
Yeah, them ain't cheap.
No, they're not.
But they're much better for you.
And I need to find a one that'll support my large ass, too. So.
And that would be a Recumbent.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you're looking at much higher starting prices.
You buy one with a motor.
Don't think I
ain't got to buy one uphill. With a motor.
That defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah,
not necessarily.
Well, it depends, because a lot of the motor ones, Dan, have the big fatty fat tires on them. And
or
you kind of want it, too.
They have motor assist. So that way, if you're going up a hill or something, you're still pedaling, but you also have the motor assist to, you know, give you that little bit of extra. And it's not like you can't take the motor off if you get in better shape or something.
Here you go, Joel. Mobo Adult Triton Pro 20-inch three-wheeled cruiser. $349. It comes in... Oh, man.
Yeah, but that's not a Recumbent, is it?
Well, I mean...
It's a three-wheel, but that doesn't make it a Recumbent.
Well, that's what came up when I was looking. You're probably right. It's not. What makes it Recumbent?
Where you're sitting flat instead of sitting up.
You're sitting in, like, a chair instead of sitting on a saddle.
Yeah, okay. I don't think the seat is rocked back as well. Yeah. I don't know if you could actually call it a Recumbent.
Where your feet are basically level with your butt.
This is level with your butt. It is.
Because that's a really good price.
What's the catch, though?
Well, you're low enough to the ground that some cars won't be able to see you, and they'll squish you like a bug.
Oh, no. I meant, what's the catch? Like, why is this one $350?
Yeah, yep. That'd be my question. Because if you look at the page that I just posted, prices are starting there at, like, $1,800.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a big difference in the prices that I'm seeing. Like, it's like...
Yeah...
Over like $1,000, and this one's like, but the seat is not adjustable.
See, I can stomach as much as I'd like a Recumbent. That's okay. I don't need one.
Yeah, I'd like one too, but I can't afford one.
Yeah, and at least if I spend the Schwinn Focus I think the one that I would select is the 1600. The 1600. It's a I think 16-speed drivetrain, carbon fiber fork, 700cc wheels, and Shimano Claris shifters, blah, 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 537. So it's a road bike, and it even comes with toe clips, too. So
you could just, you know, walk into Walmart and
bullshit.
Spend $150 on a bike.
Bullshit.
And then if it falls apart, you walk into Walmart again and buy another one.
Yeah, the I went to my local Walmart, at least the one that's closest to me, and they had two kids' bikes, and that was it. They're completely
you
sold
could do
out.
It on a kid's bike.
You know what?
A 20-inch BMXer? No.
Yeah.
I was
that's
riding
a stunt bike. That's not a kid's bike.
I was riding bike for a good couple of years, and I might the first bike I picked up was a 20-incher, and it was like for like $30 or something like that. Somebody was selling. I thought it was going to be big enough. Man,
no,
it was not good. Then my daughter, like Paige, got a bike, and I was riding that one for a while. It was a huge difference. Like it was properly fitted, and it was just a hair taller for me than I should be used. Like I should have adjusted a little different, but it was a world of difference than the smaller bike I was trying to use. Man, that smaller bike was brutalizing my knees. Now I don't have any bike.
Yep. I have one down there, but it's just one of the things I don't like about the one I put in there is it just has the standard cantilever brakes, which that's fine, but I kind of want to get one with disc brakes. So
check Facebook Marketplace.
Nah, I want one that actually is new so that I know it works. For a little bit.
If you're good enough with a wrench, you'll know that it works.
Yeah. I don't like the one I have now. Even if I did fix it all up, I still wouldn't like it. So looking at a lot of the Fat Tire Mongoose bikes, the only problem is I've been having problems trying to find one that's that's got more than 7 speeds on it. Like the Mongoose Dolomite Fat Tire, 17-inch, has 17-inch frame, 26-inch tires, is $369. But it's only got 8 speeds on it. But it does have disc brakes. And those tires are probably more to my liking too. They definitely hold my butt up. The best part is if I have to ride along the side of the road and hit the gravel, I don't think this will lose its traction quite as much as the road bike would.
I need to go check on my print. I will be back in just a minute.
Print. Ay, ay, ay.
Be honest, Amazon really hasn't been very slow for me. It's actually been almost normal. They have all this stuff at the top of the page. It says, "We are giving priority to essential items that our customers need the most. You may experience shipping delays." And a lot of some things I do, but then like I ordered my wife a file cabinet for downstairs, and that came in pretty much regular time. I put that sucker together this past weekend, too.
How's it working?
I don't know. She ain't put nothing in it yet. But now I got a gate that I'm putting up downstairs to keep the animals in that area on its way as well. Like an ultra tall baby gate that you can open and swing open to keep them out of that room. because I don't want them screwing around in that room when we're not down there.
Wait, who's screwing around in the room when you're not down there?
The animals.
Oh, the animals. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hope you got them neutered or spayed.
Yeah. Sassy. Her rear legs aren't working all that well, and definitely since we put this flooring in, she can't get the traction on the flooring.
That is funny to see
her run across it. Yeah, it's hilarious. I haven't had anybody hit a wall yet. I'm waiting for that to happen, where they're running so fast, and then they slam the brakes on, and then keep sliding. I have not seen that happen yet, but
it will.
I know. And then it'll be freaking hilarious.
Man, I was working with Jenkins Pipelines this week. And Dynamic Shared Libraries. And I was trying to get into the library. And, you know, it sucks. I hate when I do this, like, when I try all these different things to get something working, and I just miss that one little, like, phrase that I just would have explained everything. And, like, that one little phrase that I just either didn't see it or couldn't find it or they never said it. And so I finally turned to one of the guys I work with and I messaged him and I said, I can't freaking get it to work and I have no idea why. And, like, 10 minutes later he turns around and he's like, it's working now. And I'm like, oh, that's what you have to do. And man, I hate when that happens. Like, I spent hours on this thing trying to figure out why the damn thing won't work, and it was just it was just one thing I didn't try because, like,
of course, it's always the one thing you didn't try.
I'm like, I wish if they would have just said, like, added one more line to their documentation that would say, and make sure you say which. What, like, where your, like, where your SCM is hosted. It just said, like, SCM and stuff like that, and I'm, like, typing in my branch name and I'm typing in all this stuff and I'm like, it's not working. And it's because I didn't put in specifically the name of the the path to the repository, which it never said you needed it. burned me up. I tried so many different things, and I was looking in all the wrong places.
It's like one of the things I've been working with this week. Not too much. We had a call last week on it. The National Student Clearinghouse has this enrollment verification thing that some of the colleges use, and they're changing up their API. And so they updated certificates, and you had to load those into Java's key store, which I did do. All right, but then the servlet that they have the client write isn't working. So basically what's supposed to happen is we have a kind of a cut. They have a customization loaded into our product. And they go to the page there, and it has a button. You press this button, and it goes off to this servlet that they wrote. And it's supposed to pick up all the, like, the student's information from our product. And then basically automatically load it for them on the Student Clearinghouse website once you click that button. But now I click it and just go straight to nothing, and it's like, I think it's problems with your servlet. It's not our product. I mean, that's working, and when I put the certificates there, I don't know what else we need to do, you know. I might dig into it a little bit more in the morning, although trying to think what I got. I got some other stuff tomorrow, but then, of course, now it's like we just switched to versions of ServiceNow, and it's a pain in the ass. Oh, I hate it. The version they call that ServiceNow calls New York. Oh my God,
what does it look like?
I don't know, but basically, like, changes go through a workflow, so you have a. Like a schedule and an assess and an implement and then a review and then close to close the change out. Okay.
You know what? There's a bunch of pointless steps. You went way too far because, like, you're talking about shit. Like, I don't even know how to get to that point in service now, right?
Good for you.
I spent, again, yesterday. No, it was this morning. Like, I'm like the guy that I was talking about that helped me with the Jenkins stuff. Like, he's like, hey, our certificates are expiring and we got to roll our own CSRs and send them off to them. And I'm like, oh, wait, I think I did that. Let me check. I couldn't find it in Jira, and I'm like, oh, no. That might have been back in service now. And I went into service now, and I was just in the fucking program like a week and a half ago. And it took me 20 minutes again to try and figure out how I could look at the requests that I had put in, the service requests. I just kept going into the knowledge base. Like, every time I'd search in something, it would just bring up knowledge base articles. Finally, I find a way to get it, and then I got to figure out how to show my request, and then all this stuff, and then I click on a request, and I can't even see the damn request anymore. It's just like this thing, like, this window comes up, and it's got this, like, blob at the bottom. It says, you open this ticket, and then a blob at the top that says the ticket was closed. And I'm like, I can't even see the damn ticket. I can't see what the ticket was. There's my daily pain. Oh, and so you're talking about all this other stuff. Joe, I can't even get to the damn ticket.
See, it gets even worse, too, because it's like if you... I'm trying to think. One thing I discovered is that, and I'm a multi-tab person, I'm an IT person. Of course, I'm going to have more than one tab open and in the same application at the same time. So I'll have multiple ServiceNow tabs in there. So I'll close one out. It'll load another ticket right in for another client in the same browser. It's like, really?
It won't let you do that?
No, it automatically does that. Yeah. It automatically does that, and I just wanted to go back to the freaking dashboard, man. It's like, go back to the dashboard, and no. So I got to be really careful when I do that, because then I might start updating the ticket that's in front of me, and it's like, oh, wait, that's the wrong ticket.
Right before I had to go delving into ServiceNow, so we use Okta. I log into the Okta dashboard, and they get this notification, and they're like, you've been assigned SL1, I think it was, or SL7, and I'm like, what the hell is SL7 or SL1? So I click on it, and it's like, it pops up, it's like, it's EM7. Oh, another application I absolutely fucking hate. EM7. So it was like today I got like the double whammy. Like I had to thrust back into EM7 and then had to go into ServiceNow. Like, this is the worst way to start a
Then I get off. An invite from one of the managers for our colleague assurance. We're using this to test project management. And it's like some weird ass stuff within Outlook. It's not Teams. It's something. It's completely different than Teams. It has its own little chat. I'm like, oh, yet another tool. Come on, can we stop adopting?
It's tools? It's not Microsoft Project, is it?
No, it's not Project.
Oh, you know what? You just reminded me. I had the trifecta today. I actually had to go into Microsoft Teams and use that to contact somebody. Three applications I never want to use, and I had to use today.
And Slack is not horrible, but there's some people that like to try to manage a whole project from Slack, and it's like, you know, or they'll put out. I'm to the point where there's certain people in Slack that I just won't acknowledge. You know, because they'll ask me for something, you know, and next thing I know, I'm getting screwed. Anything that this one guy organizes through Slack, I get screwed. And it's like, no, I'm done with that. You know what you need to do to get me to work? Open a freaking snow case. Do it.
A what case?
Snow case.
What snow case?
ServiceNow case.
Oh.
Yes.
You know what I thought it was? Something related with ServiceNow. But.
Well, you see, and in our case, in the version we have, you have cases. And then our agreement in our team is cases are supposed to be assigned to the client assurance manager. Okay, and they're supposed to own the case. And we're supposed to own things like change tasks and changes themselves. Now, they can write a change as long as, you know, they know what they're doing. They can write a change. I don't mind if you write a change, but if you write a change, you don't know what you're doing, and I'm supposed to execute. I'm going to be asking. You know, and things like, you know, they say, oh, we need you to clone the system next week, and they're putting this request out on a Thursday or Friday. I'm like, no, yeah, that's not going to happen. Well, that's what I'm going to say now. Used to be, I'd say, sure, why not? Well, nope, I got screwed, so I'm not doing it again. It's like I've learned my lesson. It happened to me twice. I'm done. Don't give me a short lead time, because if you do now, I'm going to push back, unless it's an absolute emergency. And I can tell what those are.
There are no absolute emergencies.
Everything's an emergency, Alan.
Excuse me?
And lack of preparation on your part doesn't equal an emergency on mine?
On my part, yep.
True. That's true. It's true. It's true. Yep. Yep.
You know, I forget what episode of Read Request I was. I'm trying to go through their notes. His notes.
One thing I noticed too, excuse me. If you have a Roku, through their Home Together deal for the COVID-19, you can get like a trial of Showtime, the streaming service of Showtime, for free. And other stuff too. So if you're that bored, which I'm not that bored to watch Showtime content, not yet anyway.
Oh, what I was going to say is on episode 6 of LibreCast, which was released on October 8th or maybe something like that, he linked to an article in Fedora Magazine, which was an October 7th article entitled IceWM, a Really Cool Desktop. And
ooh.
What really surprised me, right, is I was reading the article, because, like, man, I love the old window managers. I love them. They're wonderful. And it talks about installing Ice Window Manager in Fedora 30. You can install version 1.3.8 in Fedora 30. But in Fedora 31, you have Ice Window Manager 1.6.2. Now, there wasn't more than a year between Fedora 30 and 31, right? I can't imagine there was that many updates to Ice Window Manager in a year. To account for a one point, like, that many different versions.
Speaking of versions of Linux, I just loaded Ubuntu 20.04. I assume it's beta right now, because the release date's not till next week, I think, April 23rd.
Okay.
Installed like butter. I mean, it's scary how easy the upgrades are in Ubuntu now. I mean, it's just update manager -D. Oh, there's a new version of Ubuntu. Do you want to install it? Yeah, sure. Installed. Done. Took a while. He had to download all the updates, of course. But, and I did get, like, at least one or two of those. Hey, Ubuntu 20.04 detected an error. But
I'm expecting
I'm expecting at this point. One of these days, we should probably work on doing a fresh install just to get rid of some of the cruft. But,
I'm waiting for the official release of Ubuntu before I put it on one of my machines to test it out.
The 2004 is an LTS version, too.
Wow, I stand corrected. Like, there was... Man, 2019 was a banner year for ICE Window Manager. They went from 151 on January 5th all the way up to 163 on November 24th. And there was like a release a month, it seems. And now they just released on March 16th, my birthday, 165. I should be running ICE Window Manager. Joe, why am I not running ICE Window Manager?
You've never applied to run ICE Window Manager?
Mm-hmm.
Do I even have it installed? No, I don't. Well, we're going to
correct that. I think you got Photon installed. KDE's latest release.
Who? Who has KDE's latest release installed? You?
Yeah, I think I got it installed. I don't know.
I like KDE's. I got a little soft.
It's all right. It's not as bad as it used. KDE 4 was awful. I never liked KDE 4.
You gotta go back to Sawfish, baby, right? Or Enlightenment. I like Enlightenment too, man. Just listening to this Levercast takes me back to those days of such like the fun of window managers and not like full-fledged desktops, which aren't bad. I mean, I like GNOME and I liked Unity and KDE and XFCE. I run XFCE on some of my systems. Wait, I'm not running it now. That's right. I switched over to LXD, I think it was. Yeah. What are you running there, Joe?
Cinnamon?
Oh, that's right. Okay, you're running Cinnamon. What are you running, Alan?
Terminal. Just one giant terminal. No, it's I got Mint, but it's the XSE version.
Okay. What are you running?
One of my machines is running KDE.
Wake up, Pat.
KDE. Yeah. What are you running, Joe? You running
Fedora on a laptop here?
Oh, you're running Fedora?
Yeah, on one of my laptops.
So what? GNOME 3?
Yeah.
GNOME 3. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've been running on my Fedora.
You had GNOME 3, the Ubuntu's tweaked version of GNOME 3, which I like. You know.
That's not bad.
They did a good job with the tweaks. I don't mind their theme.
I was running GNOME 3 for a while on Fedora on one of my tablets. It's really good for a tablet. I don't know if I'd use it on a full-size machine.
But I tell you one thing, though. If you, one thing I noticed, ever since this stuff started, normal stores, like grocery stores, like Walmart, other than, the weird stuff with the X's on the floor and stuff like that, generally, you don't notice too much of a difference, at least in Ohio, anyway. But the one place I did went that I did notice a huge difference was over the weekend. I went to a Target. Oh my god, it was like a ghost town. Like nobody there, which is, I guess it's not a bad thing considering what's going on, but I was there actually looking for something essential. I was looking for a way to cut my hair because I couldn't stand it since all the barbers are closed. All the hair salons are closed. And I cut my hair. I'm glad I did too. It feels much better.
I saw your picture.
I don't want the Grizzly Adams look. I bet you you're looking pretty grizzly now, right, Dan?
I had a haircut like a week or two before all this started, so I'm doing all right. I'm a little bushy around the beard, but hey, you know.
But that's normal for you.
This is the way it is. And oh, you know what did happen, right? Like, I weighed myself. And for the first time since I have been married, I am under 200 pounds. I weigh 196 pounds now.
That so makes you're not you, lighter so, than me.
So you're not stressed.
Congratulations.
I'm stress cooking, man, but I ain't stress eating. I'm stress working out. I've been diligent about working out the past.
Yeah, I'm happy.
8 years anyway.
I haven't gained weight. Oh, I've kind of maintained, which is amazing with the amount of crab I ate.
I dropped back down to 227 for a little while, and I need to start weighing myself again and doing more workouts at home, but there's so much podcasting to do.
You should podcast on the go, man.
Podcast while using the glider. I don't know how well that would work.
The glider? What's the glider?
Or a gazelle.
Oh, you have a gazelle?
Yeah. I have like two of them.
Oh, that's nice. You talk about the System 76 don't they cost gazelle, a lot right? to feed?
No.
No, this is that Tony What's-His-Face's gazelle.
Yeah, no, I just...
The exercise machine.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the System 76 laptop.
No.
I don't know what a gazelle
Geek!
Is.
No, I'm kidding.
Let's see if I can find an image of one.
So that's like
Tony Little's gazelle.
Yeah. The glider. Okay, I see what. Yeah. How do you like that?
It's okay. It's a workout. It doesn't really get the heart rate up enough for me to really call it cardio.
Okay.
So I do have to still get out and jog every now and again, whether I want to or not. But it's nice and low impact.
Crank the resistance up, baby.
It saves on the knees, right?
Yeah. Well, most of them don't have a resistance adjustment.
He's got the mullet going on the gazelleglider.com website.
I'm going to go to the website. Oh, gazelle.
Gazelleglider.com.
Look at that look. Look at him looking right there in the front. Is that you, Joe? Is that how you look? You look like Tony. What the hell is
Tony Little? Hair.
Tony Little. He's got some guns on him. Bravo to him.
And I seriously doubt he got those guns on that gazelle.
Hell no.
Maybe you got picking him up and carrying him.
It's slightly better than the Thighmaster, huh?
Folding it up and doing curls with it.
Gazelle. Gazelle Power Plus, $399.
You can pick them up used for like $25.
Is that how you got yours?
Yeah.
There you go. Can't beat that. $25.
Yeah, because people got tired of using it as a clothes rack.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait, what's the Chuck Norris one? Is that the Bowflex?
The glider?
Is it the Bowflex? No, it's not the Bowflex. It's the full body. What's it called? I know you're sitting on it and you're like using your arms to pull yourself on back and forth. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Total Gym.
Total Gym. Yes, it is. Yeah,
Total Gym, okay.
Yes.
Basically, it's a board on a rail and, yeah, it's almost as good as a row machine.
Damn, Total Gym GTS, $3,795.
No, I'm good. Good. Probably pick it up used for like $50.
There was a like a question. Does Chuck Norris actually use it? And he says, yes, he does. Which I'm like, okay, whatever. That doesn't mean I'm going to buy it.
Wait, hold on. I'll be right back. One second.
How old is Chuck Norris now?
I think he's in his 80s.
I wanted to see. I forgot what my weight bench was called. I wonder if they're still in business.
Born in 1940.
Body solid.
He is exact. He is 80 years old.
Who? Chuck Norris?
Chuck Norris.
We should look that good at 80, right?
Yeah, he's a pretty, he's something. Yeah.
His actual real name is Carlos Ray Norris.
Oh, shit, here's the one I have. No, wait. Is it? No. It's close. Dun dun. Look at that, Joe.
Yeah, he first served in Osan Air Base, South Korea. I've been there.
You don't want to go back, do you?
But the Osan? Not right now.
Well, yeah, not right now.
But I wouldn't mind getting to, you know, visit Osan or Kusan.
Is it nice?
Yeah. I enjoyed it while I was there.
South Korea.
How long ago was that? You were stationed there.
I was there in like 2000.
20 years ago.
Yep.
Look at that. I'm all ready to go for Ice Window Manager, Joe.
Do it.
I can't do it right now. It'll interrupt the mumble and stop the recordings.
You can install it. You just don't switch to it.
Yeah, I have. That's what I run on my other machine. My desktop actually is Fluxbox. So we got Fluxbox LXDE. Gnome, and I'm going to move this one over to Ice Window Manager, I think. Because it's time for something new. Excitement. It never ends.
I love my brother is like trying to sell me on buying a pellet grill. I'm like, nah.
Why?
I don't know. He and Dad are really into them.
The thing I don't like about pellet grills is that you have to buy the pellets.
That's right? The thing I don't like either. I like being able to go to the Sam's Club and buy a big old bag of lump charcoal and using that.
Here's the deal for you. I got like 9 bags of pellets I can't use.
Because you don't have a pellet grill anymore?
No. I have a pellet stove.
Okay.
But at the end of the season, I had to, unfortunately, the place that I normally buy pellets from is just, they stopped selling them up the street from me. So I have to go to Quakertown, which means I got to drive back, in my car with, several hundred pounds of pellets in the back, which is not a really nice thing to be doing when your car is loaded down with the shit. I pull about 400 pounds at a time. So I went over to Lowe's and I picked up some pellets. Yeah, they had a couple different kinds there. So I picked up some hardwood pellets, which is what I normally use. And they burn pretty well, but I went through my 10 bags that I used. So I had to go back at the real very end of the season. And all they had were, these, I won't say they're no name, but they're not well-named ones. So I get them home. I go to use a bag of it. And I won't say 90, but it's a huge amount of basically sawdust.
Okay.
I mean, they're made out of sawdust in the first place. But usually if you buy decent ones, there's very little sawdust in there. You get all pellets. And I'm dumping this thing out, and it was dark. And I'm like, what the hell is it? Because I usually dump it, and it's my hands are there. I'm like, and all this dust is hitting. I'm like, what the fuck? So I look in there, and there's this huge amount of sawdust. So I scoop out what I can, but it ended up that when it gets down in there, they're so soft that they basically, as the auger hits them, they just crumble up into nothing for me. Now I have, I'm rather aggressive because it's pulling a lot of pellets through all the time. So I've got 9 bags left downstairs that I can't use. I've been trying to filter them out and I mix them in, with some of the good pellets that I still have. But it's just I haven't figured out how I'm going to do with these things besides build a bonfire and light them all up.
That sucks. Does that make a big mess?
No, it was a pain in the ass because, like I said, my stove isn't going off and it's cold. So I basically had to scoop out all of the pellets that were in the hopper, and then vacuum the whole damn thing out.
So that is a big mess.
Well, it's more of an annoyance than a mess, right. But it's just crappy. Because normally, I get every once in a while you get you get a couple of pellets that jam in a drop down. There's an auger that drops down, and you get a couple of pellets that go through the wrong way and they jam up. And I have a piece of fiberglass that I basically throw it. I jam up this hole there, and all the pellets come down, and everything works fine. So that's what I thought it was. I'm like, there's nothing coming out of this thing. What the hell is it? And like I said, by the time I got to the bottom of it, I looked in the auger. It was just all sawdust. I can't tell you how long I was vacuuming in there, wiggling this thing, trying to get the fucking sawdust and shit to drop out of it. So I'm happy nothing major got done with it, but I figured it'd probably work a whole lot better when you have a pellet grill or something like that. Worst case, I guess when we're finally free to go out, I'll probably have to put them on Craigslist or something and just say, come get them.
Yeah, my brother's like, well, but I only buy 2 bags every other week. It's how much are the bags? He's like, well, it cost me $40. I'm like, I buy a tank of propane.
See, that's and you're not really getting anything different. I've seen those things. They're 20-pound bags, and they're $10 a piece. I'm like, okay, I'm getting 40-pound bags, and they're $7, and that's because I was. And if I bought them by the ton, I would have actually paid $5 for them. But I'm like, yeah, they're really ripping off the people with the pellet grill because there's nothing special about that.
No, not really. I mean, and my thing is, the one thing you get off of them is one, you can smoke with them as well, and the temperature is pretty consistent compared to pretty much anything else.
But you get stuff like that, but I'm waiting for them to come down in price.
I'd much rather have a green egg.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so the green egg is...
My problem with charcoal stuff is I don't cook long enough for it.
Right.
By the time you get it up and going, I throw, 3 or 4 burgers on the thing, and, 10 minutes later, I'm done. And it's that 20 minutes of getting the coals started up and everything.
Alan, that's 20 minutes of flavor building up, man.
I realize that.
That's the
price
you pay, and that's what I
do. I do realize that. I understand that.
Whoa. I'm all charcoal, man. That's all I ever do is charcoal. Yeah, I love it.
See, one thing I did do was I made some burgers. Now, I've been using them. Because I'm out of propane, so I've been using, I have a Foreman grill I've been using. Just, you know, just cooking some burgers up just for dinner or something real quick.
Uh-huh.
So I'll cook the burgers up, and then I melt the cheese on it. And then one thing I've been putting on my burger is Vino di Milo maple bacon onion jam. A little bit of that on top of it, nothing else. And man, is that good. I can get it for like Amazon wants like $8 for a jar. I can get it for $6 because I believe it's made in Ohio. It's good stuff. If you see that in the store there, Dan, grab a jar.
What's it called?
It's Vino di Milo's Maple Bacon Onion Jam. And it's delicious. I put it on burgers. I've just put it on like a bagel and ate it that way too. It's really good.
Okay, there we go. Maple Bacon Onion Jam by Vino di Milo.
Like I said, I can get it cheaper than you can. Or I can get $2 difference if I buy it at Kroger here. Because it's made in Ohio. It's good stuff. I'll do that on there. Then I've done steaks on the Foreman grill too. And what I did with that is I had some liquid smoke just to add a little flavor to it. And it comes out okay on those. I mean, it's not grilling outside or nothing, but, you know, it's good enough for dinner.
We got to wrap things up, man.
Yes, we do.
Did Joe ever come back?
Starting to get late. No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
He's still here. He ain't never left.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I think we were fine. Yeah, all right.
Well, I'd come back after checking on my print, but...
Is it doing okay?
Yeah, it's almost done. It might be done by the time I walk out there this time.
Wait, what are you printing again?
Headphone holder.
Oh, okay.
Printing another one to get it more perfect?
Yeah, I'm seeing if the different settings help with the print at all. I'm trying out Raft instead of Brim.
Generally don't use Rafts.
Yeah, I'm giving it a try. I didn't quite get the adhesion that I wanted on the corners of that Raft, so I don't know if I'll use it again.
All right. Yeah. Play us out. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful week.
Mm-hmm.
Happy belated birthday, Alan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
So whose birthday's up next? Is it you, Joe?
My munchkin on the 30th.
Mine's in like July, so
Sean's on the 30th.
So your son
Munchkin number 2 is arriving on the 30th.
Oh my goodness. Good.
Well, hopefully they'll let you go in there.
Congratulations. Well,
that's what we're hoping for. Thank you.
Congratulations.
He's another boy. Or another boy?
Another boy, yep.
All
right. Well,
boys are easier.
Maybe we'll see you before that, right? Next week, maybe?
I'm trying to get on. Last week I was running so late at work that it just like by the time I finished, I was like, "Fuck it, I'm not staying up in this room any longer."
Are you you're working at home, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, it's like, you know, the people I work for, their hours are later than mine normally are, so my days are turning into much longer than they should be.
Yeah, I know. That's. One day last week,
guys don't understand. I was like, I like to go home at 4 and leave this thing.
Yes,
if it's all be gone by then. But yeah, you know, most of the people I work for don't show up at work until 10 or 11 o'clock.
Yeah, Yeah, it's like there's this one guy in our team, he's always working. Like, he sent me Slack messages at like 4 a.m. I'm like, fuck that. Fuck that. No. 5:30, I'm gone. It's like, I shut the laptop down and I'm off. It's like, you know, it's not that I won't work late, but you gotta ask me. You can't just assume it.
Oh yeah, I have the same thing. This reminds me, I do need to actually check an email, because I sent a mass set out at 5:30, so I just want to make sure that there's no issues with it. Is this another one of those ones where, my God, we need it yesterday?
Yeah.
Now I just have to remember what the hell my fucking account is.
And I gotta do a shout out to our friend Tracy Holtz. Driving that truck cross country, keeping everybody well fed. Thank you.
Bravo to him. Yeah, my hat's off to him, man. Thank you very much for all that you do.
Yes.
It is very much appreciated.
It is.
All right, here we go. I'm plenty promos. It's
good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Libra Quest promo. Enjoy. Thank you. Check it out. LibraQuest.org. Here we go. Your promos.
Wow.
Man, damn.
Professional sounding.
That's the way to show it.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibraQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibraQuest.org.
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks, this is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Haunty Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh, man, I'm tired. Past my bedtime.
My eyes are dry. Yep. Finally got out and got me more eye drops, because this is the time of year where I use them a lot.
Yeah.
Alright.
Saying goodnight, Joe, already? Stop this recording?
You can stop the recording.
Alright.
That's a heated bed, right?
Stick. Yeah.
I got one of those magnetic beds that you peel off. Haven't tried it yet.
Well, I put painter's tape on there to give that a try, and some.
Yeah, I do tape and Elmer's glue, the glue stick.
Both. Okay.
Oh yeah. Yep.
I did the glue stick with the ABS, and that worked really, really well. And then I switched over to the PLA, and I was reading up, and it's like, okay, if you're using the painter's tape, you really shouldn't need to heat the bed.
No. I heat the bed PLA, so tape, glue stick, 60 degrees on the bed.
See, Now, I would have expected 60 degrees to be enough. It wasn't. 70 degrees wasn't enough. I had to crank it up to 90 to get any kind of bed adhesion with PLA.
Hey, Alex.
Put glue stick on top of the tape if you're still using the tape. I just used hairspray, but then I got a glass bed, too.
Okay, I will try glue stick hairspray on top of the tape.
What'd you say, Alan?
Hairspray for the win.
Yeah, if hairspray works great. The only problem I've discovered, I got Aquanet like Super Ultra Hold once, and then right now that's about all I have left. And now when I use that hairspray, man, does it stick.
Yeah.
I can't get it freaking off.
Yeah, you got to wait for it to cool down a little bit. I have the same issue.
Next time I strip the tape off, I'll give the hairspray a try.
I figure I'm not going to be buying hairspray for a long time, but the size of a container of hairspray I had to buy.
I got Aussie Mega Hold. That is about perfect because at that point, after it cools down, I can generally pop it right off. But that Aquanet Super Ultra Hold, forget that. It sticks. Last time I used it, I took my isopropyl alcohol. And I had got some of those spray bottles over at Sam's Club. Mm-hmm. And I poured it in that. So when the last time I used the Aquanet that I have, I just sprayed the whole print with that to get it off.
I've never been that bad. I only have it stick really, really hard when if it's still hot and it just stopped printing. I usually have to wait like 5 minutes or so. And then usually, for the most case, unless it's something that has a really wide base on it, for the most part, it'll pop free.
So, Alan, what printer do you have?
I have that El Cheapo i3 clone.
Oh, the ANET A8?
Yeah, ANET. I knew it was A. I knew it was A.
Well, okay.
The Monoprice Maker Select V2, which is a clone of the Wanhao i3.
I mean, it's not a bad printer as long as you keep the belts tight.
Right. Yeah, I tightened up the belts. I just threw Marlin 2.0 on my ANET, and I think the last firmware I had, I just totally effed up the settings, and this is just printing really nice now. I'm pretty impressed with it. I thought I had garbage, a week ago.
I did too, and then I, like I said, I cranked the belts up almost as tight as I could get them. Especially in the X-axis.
Yep.
And that seemed to help a whole lot there.
Yep. I put the Dryland bearings on the carriage, and because the ball bearing ones, they were just like too much play in it. And I think that was a big deal too.
Yep. So the hairspray that I like is Aussie Mega Hairspray. The one that I have that I don't like is Aquanet Extra Super Hold. Don't go for the extra. The regular Aquanet, like the Mega Hold and Aquanet, that's probably okay too. And both of them actually clean up pretty nicely with IPA.
So. Okay, so the Aussie Mega?
Aussie Mega Hold. It's like $2 or $3 a can.
Okay.
Don't go expensive. It's not worth it.
Mega Flexible Hold?
Yeah, it says a Mega Hairspray 24-hour flexible hold. And down below it says with Australian jojoba oil and sea kelp. Not that I care about that shit.
Well, if you've got the link, drop it.
I don't necessarily have a link. I can probably get a link, but because I just bought this at the grocery store.
Aussie Mega Flexible Hold Hair.
That's probably it. It's dirt cheap.
Extreme Hold Instant Freeze Hairspray.
Just go to the grocery store and grab one next time you're there.
Leave the house?
Yes, leave the house.
Good lord. Why would I do that?
Because you're fucking bored. That's why I am.
That's why my 3D printer's fixed.
There you go. The one thing I've noticed several things Like last week, I noticed hair clippers that were basically just decimated at the stores. You couldn't pick any of them, being even online, they were hard to find. But this week, I noticed bicycles were difficult because I'm kind of shopping for a bike. What else did I? Oh, Nintendo Switches. Nintendo's acknowledged they have a supply problem right now. And I think there's two reasons that happened. One is the virus, and two, they launched the Animal Crossing game for the Switch.
No, I think it was more Animal Crossing bought them all up. Now it's just the board and people buying it. But
yep, is it a little of both probably? Because actually, Animal Crossing is probably one of the best games that you can play now, because it's kind of relaxing, at least listening to it. I don't play it because I don't see the point, because that's not why I play games. It's kind of like a lot of the mobile games in that it's just kind of pointless. My wife and son play it on the Wii U. They don't have the Switch, but they have the City Folk, which is on the Wii, the original Wii, not the Wii U, but that's what Luke's been playing on the Wii U. Dan, are you there? Sounds like he's taking a piss. Did you make any masks there, Alan?
Did I make any what?
Any masks so you can go to the store?
Right now, all I have is just a thick bandana type thing. I'm working on one, but I grabbed an old T-shirt and I was gonna make one out of it. And the problem is because I don't wear T-shirts. They're all like old TLTS shirts and shit.
They're all colored.
I don't care about the color or anything. But the problem is they're practically dry rotted. I had one that I used from work tonight. Because I saw this one was like, it was pretty neat. You made the strings out of, other pieces of the shirt and stuff. It actually, was pretty easy to make. But as I'm cutting the thing up, it's just shriveling in my hands. It's like I washed it once since I've gotten it. And like I said, it was an old Anadigic shirt. So it's 15 some odd years old to begin with. It's been sitting in my closet for that long. And it was just like, all of a sudden, it was like, I'm trying to cut the strings on it. The string portions, and they're not thin, but they're not thick pieces of cloth. And as soon as I picked it up, I picked it up, and it's just like I moved it once, and the thing just ripped up on me. I was like, okay, not much I can do here.
Yeah, I'm not.
And unfortunately, I really don't have any newer T-shirts because I don't wear T-shirts.
Yeah. I got four of them made. One of them I'm going to send down to my dad, but I'm waiting for Elastic to get here because I made the ones I made are all 3D printed with exception of the filter and the strap.
Mm-hmm.
The filter is just a little round makeup thingy. And the strap is just going to be, I think it's quarter inch elastic or quarter inch or half inch elastic.
And, okay.
And then I had buckles. The design I had didn't have buckles, but that low poly mask I printed actually had buckles for its strap, so I just printed that one. And it works great for that. So, but I made three of them, and then my wife ended up giving them away.
My mom made one and sent it up, and she made it for Ashley. I'm like, what the hell? I'm your son. You don't make me a mask?
Hello?
I'm waiting for a mask for myself and for Munchkin.
Alan,
Dan.
This is what you do. You wait until your neighbor puts his laundry out. You sneak over. You there steal you a shirt. And you make a mask. That's what Dan does.
Yeah, the problem is ain't nobody in this neighborhood puts out laundry.
Yeah, I'm going
to
have
to go down to the laundromat and like rob from the laundromat.
Yep. Or you. You could. I saw someone there. And they just made a mask out of a lady song.
Yeah, I don't need that shit. But
yeah, I know.
Worst case, I can run over to Walmart. Still has or Target. They still have T-shirts and shit like that. So it's not like it's that bad. Like I said, my mom's making me one, so I may have to slightly modify that to put like a pipe cleaner or something up in the top to go over my nose and stuff. But
they haven't mandated it yet, and I haven't wore one actually when I go into the store yet. I'm basically just making sure that I have one just in case they do. So,
well, I've been trying to the few times we've gone out and gotten drive-through meals and shit like that.
Right.
Just because, and a lot of times we just got to go out because, Munchkin's falling asleep in the cars. And in the car, so it's easier, and he's all wired up. We take out go for a little ride and stuff. But I've been trying to wear one out when I do that, only because, when Ashley goes in to have Munchkin 2, I can only get in one time. If I've had contact with anybody outside of the Lehigh Valley, they won't let me in. If I've gone to New Jersey, they won't let me in.
New Jersey is a hotbed right now.
A lot of areas are. It's the proximity to New York and everything. If you look at where all the hotbed is, it's like it runs right along 78 and runs right along 80.
Mm-hmm.
Poconos are the same way now too.
What I don't get here is the hospitals down in the south, the one that Luke was born in, they actually closed it down. They actually moved it down, that one down south off of I-71 in Grove City. And I've drove past it several times, and I got a whole bunch of tents sitting out up front for drive-through COVID-19 testing.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody ever at it. And actually, they're having the opposite problem here in Ohio where
they're actually
laying people off the hospitals.
Well, all the hospitals are doing that.
All over the country.
That's not in one area. How many chiropractors do you really need running right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. That type of stuff. Yeah,
a lot of it's because of the elective surgeries that were all canceled. Ohio's not allowing any of those here. So that's a big one. But you're right. It's not just Ohio but it's happening everywhere, which, that's a bad and a good thing altogether, I think.
Well, there was a story in the paper last week, I think it was, or the week before maybe, where this couple were going up to one of the hospitals in Bethlehem to have their kid. And because they're from New Jersey, they wouldn't let the husband in.
Yeah, of course.
And so,
isn't that like a permanent policy? You're from New Jersey, you can't go in?
It's right now, yeah. Pretty much if you're from New Jersey, you're... SOL if you want to get into a hospital. I mean, you can get it through an emergency room and stuff, if you need it, but for elective things and even for birthing and stuff, visitors. But my buddy, his mom's in the hospital right now. They can't even go visit her.
That sucks. Imagine kids sick. You can't get visited.
Even her husband, she was in ICU for a little bit, and for a little while there, I guess it didn't look very well. They had to go out of their way to get even her husband in there for it.
Yep.
Guy in my company died. Dude was in his early 70s. He was in the New York office. He's from New Jersey. And he had it for a couple of weeks. He wasn't in the hospital. And then he had trouble breathing, I think, Friday night. They admitted him. And he was dead on Sunday. I didn't know him personally, but I know people know him.
Yeah, I have a friend that's, he graduated high school probably the year I started that high school, the one I ended up graduating from, and this is how bad things were going for him. He was diagnosed with brain cancer, and then right around that same time, his wife divorced him, and then his brain cancer has progressed to the point where he had to live in an assist, a long-term care facility. And of course, when he's in there, he contracted COVID-19 and he is in the ICU that I know of right now. I think he's still in there. He's not on a ventilator, but he is on oxygen as far as I know. But it's he had brain cancer too. So it's it's no wonder.
Yeah, it's not a nice thing.
Yep. And it's definitely, it's, it just takes one case in those long-term care facilities, and everybody that's in those usually has some comorbid kind of thing, and then it just takes off.
Yeah, well, they're sick nursing to begin homes. With, too.
Yeah, have operation in nursing homes.
Yeah.
I keep telling my father-in-law and his wife, they need to just stay there. I mean, I tell them, I say, you need something, let me know. I'll go get it for you. That's like Easter Sunday.
That wasn't my ring right there.
Yeah, no, it's mine. I think the wife's walking the dog. But the last Sunday during Easter, we had so much extra food, I just took a plate over for each of them. And they appreciated that, so. Enough of the virus talk. Let's try and talk about tech if it's hard, but it's going to be hard.
You ready to start the show?
There's a show?
I got to be something to talk about, and Rich would be proud of me.
Right, so I want to give us
a... You signed a contract with Dr. Kevorkian?
No.
$350,000.
He did.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he died a few years ago, didn't he?
No,
yeah,
he's dead.
All right, you want to give us a count around?